The Job Safety Analysis, or JSA, is a critical tool used across Glencore's operations to ensure that our health and safety benchmarks and processes are integrated into key tasks. A JSA is used to break down each step of the task and identify the corresponding hazards and controls, producing a thorough resource that recommends the safest way to carry out a task. It's important to review the purpose and function of the JSA regularly to ensure that we are using it effectively across our operations. The findings of an investigation into a serious incident at a GCAA site identified two major issues that needed to be addressed across our operations. Issue 1. There was no work method established on how to conduct the task. And Issue 2. The JSA did not appropriately identify and manage the hazards associated with the task. As a result, and to assist in obtaining quality risk management outcomes, GCAA have reviewed the way we are doing our JSAs. The revised process is a mandatory requirement across all GCAA operations and is applicable to all employees and contractors. It incorporates the use of a standardized JSA form, which we'll cover in more detail soon. Let's look at the JSA system and process first. Some things won't change. Determining when a JSA needs to be done remains the same as in the current process. That is, for non-routine tasks in a normal environment and for routine tasks in an abnormal environment. What has changed in the revised JSA process are the expectations for identifying the key drivers of the JSA to ensure that the system does not allow for a similar incident to occur. Throughout the development of the revised process, these key drivers were continually monitored. They include when a JSA is to be done and by who, work methodology, causes of harm and controls, supervisor control, and isolation. Let's go into more detail on these drivers. When a JSA is to be done and by who? The planning process must identify who should be involved in developing the JSA and when it is to be done. It is not always appropriate for the work crew to develop the JSA. Sometimes specialist advice may be required. Whether a JSA is completed by the work team before the start of the task or as part of the planning process depends on a number of factors. These include the complexity of the identified task, if the task or process is new or unknown, if the work team is familiar with the task or process, if the subject matter experts are needed, for example, a rigger, electrician, or engineer, if a JSA has been completed previously, or if a new JSA is to be developed, if reference material or documentation is available, if there are specific skills, equipment or tools, licenses or roles needed, if the environment or work area is different from typical working conditions, and if approvals, permits or special conditions are required. If done in advance, the work team should still assess the work location and environmental conditions to determine if additional hazards need to be controlled. Work methodology. The work methodology, how the job should be done, needs to be established before identifying hazards and controls. Causes of harm and controls. We need to stop using catch-all phrases to describe hazards and their controls. For example, slips, trips, falls, and housekeeping. They should be described in real terms. For supervisor control, stop points may be included in the JSA, allowing the supervisor an opportunity to stipulate key points in the task where work is to stop until a particular action is undertaken. Stop points can be used at the supervisor's discretion to allow more effective control of the task. Stop points could be useful for involvement of additional expertise or subject matter experts, mobilization of additional equipment, tools or resources, interaction with other work activities, validation of work completion to identify job steps, control effectiveness, or process decision points. Isolation. Specific isolation points and how the verification or test for dead process will be undertaken needs to be described in detail in the JSA. Now, let's discuss how to develop a JSA. This diagram breaks down the key steps in the revised JSA development process. As we mentioned earlier, the JSA development process must start with developing the work methodology, how the job should be done. This is followed by safety analysis, identifying the job steps, hazards and controls, and assigning control responsibilities. Then, the supervisor can identify stop points, if any, as we discussed previously. The work team can then review and acknowledge the JSA, get final approval from the supervisor, and start applying the JSA to the task. All this information can be captured on the new standardized JSA form. Step 1 on the form is to complete general information, such as the site, department, JSA lead, crew, and task title. Step 2 requires you to document on the form how the work task is to be completed, the work methodology. This may include related procedures, information and documents, tools, equipment and personal protective equipment, skills or roles, isolation details, and a detailed task description. Step 3 on the form is to complete the safety analysis. This includes listing each job step in sequential order from the information included in the work methodology, identifying and listing the specific hazards relevant to each job step. Hazards should be tangible, that is, what could hurt someone or what could go wrong. Identifying and listing the appropriate controls for each hazard. Controls should be tangible and specific, that is, telling you what to do to stay safe. And assigning responsibility for implementing each control to a member of the JSA work team. Step 4 is to document any stop points deemed necessary by the supervisor. If stop points are used, the supervisor is responsible for identifying the specific stop points and when the work is to stop, identifying what is to occur before the work task can continue, and communicating stop point information to all JSA work team members. Step 5 requires the documentation of reviews and approvals from the development team, the work team, the supervisor, and the oncoming work team, if the task spans over shifts. The JSA form is then complete. While the form is a critical part of the revised JSA process, it's important to remember that the form itself won't keep people safe on the job. It's the process it represents and its outcomes that are critical for the safe and effective execution of tasks across GCAA's operations. The revised process is now a mandatory requirement across all GCAA operations. So if there is anything about the process that you need clarified, make sure you ask your supervisor as soon as possible.